Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingenstein.
Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingenstein with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. This week, we're happy to have join us Denny Coates. Denny is the CEO of Grow Strong Leaders, and for the past 30 years, he has published award-winning brain-based assessment and learning programs used by millions of people worldwide. And he's written hundreds of articles and a dozen books. And his most recent book is entitled Grow Strong Character. He's a graduate of West Point, and he's a decorated combat veteran who retired from the U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel after 20 years of service. He earned his PhD from Duke University, and he's got some great thoughts to share around leadership, and looking forward to today's conversation with Denny. Great to have Denny joining us for our conversation. I appreciate you taking time out of your week to chat with us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit for our audience. Give us a little bit of kind of an overview of your career and just a little bit of just a little bit of your history.
Yeah. Well, I am a graduate of West Point, served in the Army for 20 years, retired as a lieutenant colonel, had a variety of leadership positions during that time, and also was fascinated with the topic. Mm. You know, so I was reading about it and along with doing it. And so after I retired, I thought, you know, I can help some organizations who want it. And that, so I started a consulting company offering employee development, leader development. And what I discovered is that I enjoyed sharing the tools that I had created for my work. Mm. So that's what I decided to do. And I formed a partnership with another consultant named Meredith Bell. You probably know her.
Yep.
And, you know, that was about 35 years ago.
Okay.
And so updating these resources and helping people use them, that's been our business. And in my mind, this topic of leadership is always been there. And one of the things that has fascinated me all along is this idea of character strength. And so anytime I hear or observe that element going on in the leadership, you know, I want to know about that. And so I've been inquiring and so that's where the book came from.
Okay. Yeah. I'd love to kind of hear a little bit of it. Sounds like the character part of it. It's kind of an interesting topic in that we don't hear as much today about character as growing up. That was something that was kind of you heard a lot from teachers, from coaches, from your pastor, and a number of different sources. But tell us a little bit about just kind of your inspiration to the book's name is Grow Strong Character. And tell us a little bit about just kind of your thoughts around that and kind of to write a book about it.
Yeah. Well, I wrote the book because I had a lot in my head about it. wanted to write. That's what I do.
Sure.
I don't think of myself as a coach or even as a trainer, even though I probably can do those very, very well. But as a writer, really, that's what I like to do. So writing down these thoughts, that's where the book came from. And the idea is that character strength is not only an interesting component of leadership, but vital. Just imagine if you imagine a leader who didn't have it, who was a little dishonest, didn't work hard, didn't get along with people very well, was not fair, etc. Imagine how the team would feel about that person and the kind of effort that that leader could get from that team if they didn't respect him or her. They wouldn't follow. You know, they would do the minimums. Mm-hmm. And that's not how good productivity and performance, that's not what happens there. So it's important. And so defining it and describing it, that's really what I tried to do with that book. And there's a couple of really important insights that I stress throughout the book. And one of them is that character strength is not a trait. I mean, you could call it that, and that would be okay. But it implies saying that it's a trait implies that that it exists within that individual. That's part of who they are. When you hang out with them, you feel, well, this is a person of strong character. But the truth is that character is manifest in behavior. A person could have a reputation of being rational, but is what he or she says rational? They could be cool under fire. Aren't really? The only way you know is if they are.
Sure.
So it really is focusing on behavior. They're what they do. Yes, it's part of who they are, but really it's about what they do in the world, what they do at work with people, trying to accomplish this difficult mission. So with that in mind, what behavior are we talking about? And so to my surprise over the years, I actually collected these behavior patterns because they seem to add up to strong character. And I had dozens. So I talked it over with my business partner, Meredith Bell, and we decided, you know, dozens is too many.
Sure. Yep.
So I have boiled it down to only a few dozen, three dozen, actually, because they cluster nicely into different areas. And one of them is are you strong as an individual? In other words, are you resilient? Do you have strong self-esteem? Do you have confidence? Do you act with courage, etc.? There are behavior patterns related to just being strong as a person. Another area that I use is strong in relationships. And in my view, relationships are it's vital. It's where it's at, but they're not easy. Mm-hmm. We wish they were.
Right.
But if you have kids, if you are married, if you have a boss and so on, you know that you have to work hard to achieve a good, productive relationship, a mutual, fulfilling relationship. It's not easy. And so what strengths do you need for that? And of course, there are some like, honesty and integrity and generosity, compassion, and loyalty. None of those are easy to do. And so I have identified about a dozen behavior patterns that are related to having strong relationships. And then there's an area that's very important to me, and that is strong at work. you know, your work ethic, so to speak. And those have to do with the taking responsibility, for example, as a behavior pattern. Not easy, okay? Some responsibilities are scary or challenging. Being proactive. Yeah. Another example of, making a good, solid effort at what you're doing. Because, once again, it's not easy. And, you know, all of this, I keep saying that it's not easy. Life isn't easy. Work isn't easy. Relationships are not easy. And so how do you prevail with all of those challenges? And the answer, part of the answer is that you're strong enough in yourself to do it. You know, you're willing to shoot for excellence, to be decisive. Not easy. Keep saying that. It's about doing the hard things. It's about doing the right things.
Is there hope for somebody who is maybe has some of these areas where there's a need for improvement? Is it like emotional intelligence where you can continue to grow as long as you know where your gaps are and where you need to strengthen?
Yes. I don't think people develop character strengths consciously. Mm. I mean, they can.
Right.
I don't think that's usually the way it works. My wish is that people were conscious of the behavior patterns that relate to strong character. And that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, is to put that in front of people so they can look at any given behavior pattern and think, am I strong in that area? Do I do that? And it is like, as usual, that kind of self-awareness helps you focus on what we call your strengths and also areas that you would like to be stronger. And so, yeah, if you could get that kind of analysis, that kind of feedback, and you can get the feedback if you want it.
Sure.
And then work on it. And the way you work on it is the way you work on any behavior pattern. And in my writing and talking about it, I sometimes use the word skill. Because to me, when you get down to what is a skill and what is a behavior pattern, there's no difference. Mm. It's, I do this well and I do it automatically because I've been doing it a lot. And that works that way because in the brain, the more we do a certain thing, the more it influences the neurons. And what they do is after a while, they start to connect. Because that's, you do this, then this, then this, and that's the pattern. The more you do that, the more those brain cells want to connect. And when they do, you have a circuit that we call a skill. Mm. And that means that's how you respond. There are all kind of analogies, and I love to use baseball. can you imagine a batter wanting to slam it out of the park, but the ball's coming at you at what, 95 miles an hour or more, and it's not going straight over the plate, it's curving. How do you hit a ball that's doing that? Well, it's a skill. And it takes a lot of repetition, a lot of practice and coaching to get to the point where in that less of a second time, you do the right thing with the bat. Mm. So it's repetition. It's doing specific things that get results, specific behavior patterns or skills, and doing them over and over. And I think some young people get really excited about a topic that they're learning, or maybe it's an activity that they're involved in. You know, I think sports are a great way to develop character strengths because sports are demanding. You really have to step up and not quit. If you're not quitting, that's character strength. If you try your best, that's character strength. If you try to help others, that's character strength. So effort and excellence and all that sports, I think you can learn a lot in sports. And you can learn a lot in a project because the projects by their very nature are usually kind of challenging. So kids not thinking that they're developing character strength are actually doing that when they're young. And the more they do that, I tell a story in the book. I think I told you that I was a cadet at West Point and graduated in 1967. And that first year is hard. my class, my cohorts that freshman year, it's called plebe year at West Point. And at least used to be. I don't know what's going on there now. But we started out about 800 or 900 cadets in that class. And after the first 3 months, we had lost about 150 of them. And the reason is they couldn't handle the challenges. It demanded character strength from you. For example, composure. Many, many times, let me explain that the way meals are served at West Point, I think it's still done this way, is that there's a table with 10 cadets around it. And they're served by waiters. And so they eat all three meals that way at the same table. So there's a relationship between the freshmen and the upperclassmen. And it's usually adversarial. I mean, they have, and it's a kind of, it was encouraged back in the day to interrupt a person's eating and demand a report of some kind. So it just happened a lot. So you better be ready with the right answer, with the right report, with whatever summary they do it. They already know the answer. So, they know if you know it or not. And I remember being harassed at meals and being told to come around to their room later that night and endure more hazing, later in life, I came to appreciate that striving against adversity was very helpful in staying alive in combat, which is very stressful and challenging and so forth. Thank goodness, because if my team trusts me, respects me, and follows me, then maybe we all stay alive. That was the deal. So there is a method to that cultural thing that was going on there at West Point.
So tell me, somebody that's a lot of our listeners are new leaders. They maybe have been in a organization as a contributor, have done well, and now they're tapped on the shoulder to lead a team. Or a first-time CEO, with that whole idea around character and being aware of it, but also as you're responsible for a team, as you're hiring people, what are some things that you think about as far as around character and picking out those traits and people that you're hiring? You want people that have character and have some of the those skills that they need to be successful. Any tips around that for somebody?
Well, it's not a perfect science, of course, this business of interviewing prospective employees, prospective team members. I think the best approach is to look into their past and ask about what was hard for you. What were the biggest challenges that you had in this particular job or that particular job? and listen to that, and then say, well, how did you deal with it? Those are good questions to ask. And you might learn something about a person by doing that. You know, do they accept responsibility? Do they work hard? Did they inspire cooperation among the people they worked with and so on? And so you can learn a little bit about it, but you're not going to learn it all until they get into the organization.
Sure. Yep.
And watch them for a while. So maybe it's wise to have a trial period of employment where you observe, because if you've come to understand about these behavior patterns that relate to strong character, which is important, then you can look for it and appreciate what you're looking at. So that's what I would do.
So organizations, there can be certain organizations are kind of, I refer to it as sharp elbowed. They're not, that relationship part is probably not as important. But as a leader to influence the organization, the culture, being a, whether it's a culture of character, maybe that's what we need more of as far as in our organizations. But how would a leader influence that? I think I know one of the answers is to model it, but how would somebody kind of encourage that to be a part of kind of who they are as an organization?
Well, I think you're onto it. I think setting an example, standing out as someone to follow. I think an emerging leader is one of those folks, you know, someone who's displayed that. And so you think, we need to get this person into supervision, into management, because here's what we've seen. And what you've seen is these various strengths, the things that get things done. They're loyal. They have compassion for the customer and the fellow team members. They work hard, take initiative, they're creative and so on, proactive. And if they show these various strengths, then I think that identifies them as a potential leader. And that's really what influences the followers, is who you, how you behave, and because that's the standard. If you come in late and leave early, well, it's okay.
Sure.
If you don't complete an action, it's okay. How a leader presents herself, that's what people follow, and that's what's expected. So I really agree with you on that. That modeling it. Setting the example, that's really the key.
Who are some leaders that you've looked to as example of a leader with character in your own personal life, maybe as a, or from a distance? Who are some people that exhibit those qualities?
Yeah.
Characteristics.
Well, I have worked with all kinds. In the Army, of course, you notice all kinds of leaders at different levels and how they act. And some of their behavior and leadership is dysfunctional. I'll tell you a story. It's not a pleasant story, but it's a good story. I was on a project one time to train a whole bunch of ROTC students at summer camp. But it's a really good time for them to work on leadership skills, military skills, and so on. And so I was helping out. And it's a highly valued time. And so what happens is that other generals will show up and want to see what's going on. And so my boss asked me, hey, will you escort this three-star? So sure, you know, whatever he wanted to see, that's what we were on a helicopter. We went there.
Sure.
It was where he wanted to go. Hey, can I see this? Can I see that? So when I got back, my boss, who is a general, he said, why did you do that? Why did you take him there, there, and there? And I said, sir, that's where he wanted to go. He says, but I wanted you to go to X. And while he was telling me this, he was thumping my chest with his finger. And I thought, I don't care for that. You know, that's an example of poor leadership. But there were people that I worked with and worked for who I thought were brilliant in the area of leadership, but not all of them were. And I guess you could learn from both, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So outside of work, what do you like to do to recharge?
Oh, well, my wife takes care of that.
Okay.
She's an avid gardener and belongs to like three or four different gardening groups here in Texas. There are many. And so she's active. She's a leader and a leader in the garden too.
Okay.
But I help her and I take great pleasure in that. I like to dig holes and carry heavy bags and follow orders and help to get it done. And the result is, you know, all this nature around us. So that's one of the things I enjoy, our three cats. They, you know, will interrupt my work here frequently during the day, and they're either asking for food or for affection. So I give them both. So, you know, I watch a lot of fiction on television because I'm interested in storytelling. Well, my PhD is in English and American literature, so I guess I'm trained to look for that. How is the storyteller telling this story? Yes, I'm fascinated with that, kind of learning from that. It's not leadership, it's storytelling.
Sure.
But that's one of my interests.
Any parting thoughts for a new or up-and-coming leader?
Yes. The main thing about it for a new emerging leader is to recognize that your success depends on that team. These are human beings. And to become a student of human beings and to learn about these specific human beings, to care about them and to see them, that they're there for a reason, their own reasons, and to help them move forward through the work that you're doing. And of course, these days, as we've been talking about, is not backing off of the hard things, but take it on. Volunteer to do this hard project and involve your team in it, and persist with it. Make a strong effort, even if it means come in early and staying late. Do this, and the team will see it and follow your lead. In other words, demonstrate what we've been talking about strong character.
Well, Denny, I sure appreciate your thoughts, and this is, I know, helpful for those listening. And how would somebody learn more about you and your organization?
Oh, well, my organization is called Grow Strong Leaders. So that should be pretty easy to remember. So it's sure. growstrongleaders.com. We have some resources there that leaders can use in their work. My books are mentioned there. One of my books is about interpersonal communication. which is where the rubber meets the road in leadership. Yep. If you don't connect well, it's called Connect with Your Team. So that's a good book to look into. So Grow Strong Leaders is where to go to learn more about me, to learn more about our work, and to get involved.
Great. Well, thanks again, and wish you continued success in all you're doing. Appreciate it.
Mark, it's been a great pleasure talking to you. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.